Welcome. This is Kathleen Pearl to Keep the Charge. Father, I pray your spirit come in the name of Yeshua, our Savior, that we go through the veil of blood, that the way of holiness is the way of spiritual understanding, and that you would impart this to us. Father, we thank you that all your creation is line upon line, precept upon precept. You are the God of order, and we praise your great and holy name. I want to encourage those of you who listen to this that there are weekly readings of the Torah, that would be the first five books of the Old Testament, the Haftorah, the books of the history books and the books of the prophets, and the Brit Hadashah, which are the New Testament readings, on a weekly basis. I encourage you to keep the Sabbath and to keep the commandments of God and the faith in Yeshua and his work of salvation that he has provided for us. If you read, I have found in my walk with God that when I began teaching Sunday school, that each of the lessons that I would teach, I would have to walk them out before I taught them to the children. And therefore, by reading on an orderly basis, the readings from the Old and the New Testament as a weekly discipline, these lessons are worked out in us in that week. They become fleshed out even this week. And it puts us on the same page with people all over the world who are doing these readings. And the Lord will work a unity according to his word. This is my encouragement for you to do this and be good Bereans. In Hebrews 6, it speaks about, in the first two verses, about the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ. Now, Yeshua, Jesus, is our cornerstone, and it behooves us to look at the elementary principles of Christ according to the teacher in this document. And it says in verse 3, this we will do if God permits. And it goes on to say that further, that these principles are types, but Yeshua is the fulfillment thereof. And so we can look at these, this heavenly tabernacle, the earthly sanctuary of with the showbreads and the lampstands and what's behind the veil of the Holy of Holies, the golden censer, the Ark of the Covenant. All of these were services, okay, that the Levites, the priests, performed in the temple. But it was symbolic, it says in Hebrews 9:9, for the present time in which both gifts and sacrifices are offered, which cannot make him who performed the service perfect in regard to the conscience. And that this was a type. The earthly tabernacle was a type of the heavenly pattern that Moses was instructed by the Lord to make after the pattern of heaven. Therefore, this implies that there is an order and an instruction that is a type in the Old Testament that points to us as the temple of God, the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are not God. We are being authored and finished into vessels of the Lord. We'll just briefly look at this corroborating scripture out of 2 Timothy. 1 and 2 Timothy, the pastoral epistles, lay out the order of God's house in the New Testament, in which in verse 20 it says, well, let's look at 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God stands sure, having this seal. The Lord knows them that are his, and let everyone that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared for every good work. Okay, now let's go to a couple of verses in the readings for this week to keep the charge, which in the this is not the actual parsha reading is Bechalochtach from Numbers 8, 1 through 12, 16. I'm only going to take what was given to me by the Holy Spirit about to keep the charge. As I was reading Numbers 8, 23, and the Lord spoke to Moses saying, this is that belongs unto the Levites from 25 years old and upward. They shall go in to wait upon the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. This is very specific. They are going to be waiters, you know, like servants, waiters and waitresses, you know, to wait upon the service of the tabernacle, the making the showbread, preparing the incense, whatever their designated roles will be of the congregation. 25, and from the age of 50 years, they shall cease waiting upon the service thereof and shall serve no more. In other words, they shall not do the waiting and the service of the preparation for the animal sacrifices and et cetera, but shall minister with their brothers in the tabernacle of the congregation. All right, once you're 50, then you're to minister with your brothers still in the Lord's house, in the tabernacle, to keep the charge, and shall do no service. In other words, no physical labor, waiting, preparing the house. I liken it unto a great banquet or catering, in which it's not like going to a Pizza Hut and having the waitress come and put a pizza on your table. That kind of way. This is an ordered service. This is a formal service in which you have a table with fine linens and you have crystal and candelabra and table decorations. You have china. And there are plates for different order of service and for different foods that are going to be put in for the different courses. There's crystal in which you have water glasses, wine glasses for the different meats or fishes and champagne and the dessert, etc., etc. And then there's a presentation, as you will, an order of service, the way it's supposed to be conducted. And so shall do no service, thus shall the Lord do unto the Levites, touching their charge. Now this phrase, to keep the charge, really jumped out at me, as it is wont to do when the Holy Spirit wants to show you something. And I began looking in Stern's Bible, and it said to keep the charge was to assist. And somehow that didn't feel right to me. And what is this to keep the charge? So I looked up the Hebrew word, and the Hebrew word is mishmeret, mishmeret. And the definition, this is Strong's H4931, mishmeret is watch. That is the act or custody, or concretely the sentry, the post, objectively preservation, or concretely safe, figuratively observant, that is abstractly duty, or objectively a usage or party, charged, kept, keep, to be kept, office, ordinance, safeguard, ward, watch. Now, the first interpretation of this, or definition, this word mishmereth, is watch. And it was like, the assist wasn't there. Assist has, oh, well, we just help. We're an old daughtering, you know, and we just help the young Levites. No, 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 no. The is to watch over. And I began to realize that the translator to take charge did not have the modern understanding of the office. This is still an office. It's an overseer's office to watch over, to train those that are younger, to show them what their service is and who should do what. The maitre d' of the formal banquet. All right. A bishop is really an overseer, okay? They have to be of a certain age. They rule their own house. In other words, they're able to train up people for their duties in the household and so on. I'm not going to get into that aspect too much, but I began to look at this word, mishmereth. The derivatives are masmera, which means a peg or nail. In other words, it's fastened in there in order to perform a certain service. Also derived from mishmereth is mishmar, a guard, the man, the post of the prison. Figuratively, a deposit also is observed. A usage abstractly or an example, concretely, diligence, guard, office, prison ward, watch. Somebody who watches over, and in this also is shamar, which means properly to hedge about as with thorns, that is to guard, generally to protect and to attend, beware, be circumspect, to take heed, to keep, to mark, to look narrowly, to observe, preserve, regard, reserve, safe self, sure that, lay wait for, watch, man. This is someone that has an overseeing training ministry in order to bring others, okay, into the Lord's service for the household. Now I want to go and look at another place where mishmereth from Strong's H4931 is used. I was not happy with a sister to take charge of. It didn't have the comprehensive understanding of what happens when someone oversees the Lord's house. The mishmereth is also used in Habakkuk. In chapter 2, verse 1, let me read it to you through verse 4. I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say to me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie, though it tarry. Wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him. But the just shall live by his faith. Watch, the first watch in this passage, I will stand upon my watch, is mishmereth. The same one, the watch, the center, the post, charged to keep office, ordinance, safeguard, watch. Well, isn't this interesting? And it's the second watch is Safa, the second watch in Hebrew, and set me on the tower and will watch, all right, to see what he will say to me. This means properly to lean forward, that is to peer into the distance, by implication to observe and await, behold, to look up well, to wait for, to keep the watch, man. I will watch for, okay, so I'm going to stand upon my watch, you know, my office, my post. I will watch, I'm going to look to him, and to see what? To see. All right, let's look at to see here. It's ra'ah. Ra'ah. A primitive root to see, literally or figuratively. Advise, self, appear, prove, behold. Certainly consider, discern, to enjoy, have experience, gaze, take heed, indeed, joyfully to look on one another, to mark, to meet, to be near, perceive, present, provide, regard, respect, to see, to show the sight of another's, to spy, to stare, surely think, view, visions. Ra'ah is a root word for a seer, a prophetic office of and type of the watchman, the seer. This is Strong's H7200. Let's go on in this Habakkuk passage. And I will watch to see, Ra'ah, what he will say to me, and I will answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision. Write the vision. Chazon. Strong's H2377. Chazon, a sight mentally. A sight, a mental sight. That is a dream, a revelation, or oracle, or vision. Because the vision is yet for an appointed time. Well, isn't this an interesting word? An appointed time, from Strong's H4150, a moed, a moad, a moada. Properly an appointment. That is a fixed time or season, specifically a festival. Wow. Conventionally a year, by implication an assembly. Technically, the congregation, by extension, the place of meeting, also a signal, appointed same time, a place of solemn assembly, a congregation, a solemn feast, appointed due season, solemn synagogue, set time, appointed. God is a God of order. He works in times and seasons and according to his appointments, not the appointments of man's conjecture or man's table. You know, his appointment calendar. I think I'll bless God and spend time with him because I have some free time available. No. If your devotional times, you know, are called by God and it's a discipline order by order, and there are feasts and times, and there are places where God opens up and makes the vision plain. And you come to him and it is for the appointed time. But at the end, it shall speak. At the end, it shall speak. The end. Contracted, this is from Strong's H7112. It's kets, an extremity, a verbally, after, uttermost, border, the end, the infinite process. Now, Habakkuk is an end time book of prophecy for the end. It's at the end of time, and it is a modim, an appointment time, a feast time where the gathering of the congregations are. And this is an incredible book, and it implies this in the Hebrew. You cannot find this subtlety without looking to the original language. And not lie, though it tarry, wait for it. Continue. In other words, it's going to be delayed, but wait for it, for your service, for where your position is to be. And it will surely come. It will not tarry. Behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him. Behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him. If you've lifted up your soul, and you're telling God how it's going to be, You are lifted up. You are still God. God has not come in and he does not rule over you. But the just shall live by his faith. I want to look at this word. I was so just amazed at this word faith, because it is not what is taught commonly in the current teachings on faith. You know, the just shall live by faith. That's used a lot. But faith in Strong's H530 is emunah. Emunah in Hebrew. It's literally firmness, figuratively security, and moral fidelity. Faithfully, faithfulness, man set in his office. Stability, steady, truly, truth, truth, verily. Okay, you have to keep your moral fidelity. You're firm, you're steadfast, unmovable, not shaken in moral fidelity and principles and walking in truth. This is true faith. This is not as it's taught in a lot of other contexts in modern times. I want to go to another scripture now concerning the watchtower and the from Isaiah 21:5. Prepare the table. That's set the house in order, right? Prepare the table. Watch in the watchtower. Eat, drink, arise, you princes, and anoint the shield. For thus says the Lord, said to me, go, set a watchman. Let him declare what he sees. And he saw a chariot with a couple of horsemen, a chariot of asses and a chariot of camels. And he hearkened diligently with much heed, and he cried, a lion, my lord, I stand continually upon the watchtower in the daytime, and I am set in my ward whole nights. And behold, here comes a chariot of men with a couple of horsemen. And he answered and said, Babylon is fallen, is fallen. And all the graven images of her God he has broken under the ground. Oh, my threshing and the corn of my floor, that which I have heard of the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, have I declared unto you. The burden of Duma, he called to me out of Seir. Watchmen, what of the night? Watchmen, what of the night? And the watchman said, the morning comes and also the night. If you will inquire, inquire you. Return, come. All right, let's break this down because this is very interesting. Prepare from Strong 6186 is arak, a primitive root to set in a row, that is to arrange, put in order by a variety of applications. As it says, prepare the table. So we talked about those that oversee the preparation of the table or the battle, to set it in array, to compare, to direct, to equal esteem, estimate, the expert in war, to furnish, to handle, to join the battle, to ordain, to lay, put up, reckon, second order, to prepare, to tax, to value. So that's very obvious. Prepare the table and then watch. Okay? Watch. This is the word from Strong 6822, sepha. It's a primitive root to lean forward. That's to look in the distance. All right, we saw that in the second. Go set your watch. I will go and watch. To observe, to wait, behold, to spy, wait for, keep the watch. And then the watchtower in this one is Safith, a sentry, a watchtower, a watchman, Safa. The primitive root, okay, we saw that before, to watch and to see. He sees, Safa. Okay, he sees in the distance. He's waiting and observing. He's keeping the watch. He's in the watchtower. He's a guard. He's in the eagle's nest. What does he see? He sees a lion, Ariel, in the sense of violence, a young lion. Ariel, the Ariel, a lion. I hear a lion. There's a lion coming. There is war coming. Okay, let's go to Micah 4:8. And thou, O tower of the flock, the stronghold of the daughter of Zion, unto you shall come, even the first dominion, the kingdom shall come to the daughter of Jerusalem. Now, why do you cry aloud? Is there no king in you? Is your counselor perished? For pangs have taken you as a woman in travail. Be in pain and labor to bring forth. For pangs have taken you as a woman in travail. Be in pain and labor to bring forth. O daughter of Zion, like a woman in travail, for now you shall go forth out of the city, and you shall dwell in the field, and you shall go even to Babylon, and there you shall be delivered. There the Lord shall redeem you from the land of your enemies. Now also many nations are gathered against you that say, let her be defiled, and let her eye look upon Zion. But they know not the thoughts of the Lord, neither understand they his counsel. For he shall gather them as sheaves into the floor. Arise and thresh, O daughter of Zion, for I will make your iron horn iron, and I will make your hooves brass, and you shall beat in pieces many people, and I will consecrate their gain unto the Lord, and their substance unto the Lord of the whole earth. All right, let's break down this, and I believe that this is a prophetic teaching for the time, this time, such as this, that I'm giving you. And thou, O tower of the flock, tower is a migdal. It's a, by analogy, a tower from its size and height, a roster, and figuratively a pyramidal bed of flowers, a castle, a migdal, flower pulpit tower. And the flock, O you tower of the flock, it says, O tower of the flock. The flock is an arrangement of animals, a drove, a flock, a herd. And then it says, oh, the stronghold. This word stronghold is Ophel. This is also the name of one of the mountains. There are three mountains outside of the old city. There's Mount Zion, and then there's Ophel. It means stronghold, a fortress, a fort, a tower, a stronghold. And then it says, we're going to go here, even to you shall come The first is Rishon, first in place, time or rank, ancestors before time, beginning, elder, first, forefather, most, former things of old time. To you shall come the Rishon Memshalah. And then it says Memshalah, Rishon Memshalah, Mamlaka. And there's a sort of a little Memshalah Mamlaka. And Memshalah is dominion, a rule, a realm or a ruler. So the first dominion shall come to what? You, O daughter of Zion. Ruler, dominion, government, the power to rule. And the kingdom, Mamlaka, dominion is the estate, or the country, the realm, the kingdom, the king's reign, it's royal, shall come, bow, to go or come, bow. This shall come, to you shall come this, the dominion, to the daughter of Jerusalem. Oh, you stronghold of the tower. And why do you labor? Okay, so let's go over this. So now why do you cry aloud? Is there no king? Is your counselor perished? For pangs have taken you as a woman in travail. Be in pain and labor to bring forth, O daughter of Zion, like a woman in travail. All right, this is giach, viach, to gush forth as water, to break forth, to bring forth, to come forth, to drawing up, to take out. This is from Strong's H158. And by the way, the other strong bow is H935. The kingdom is H4467. Memshalah, the dominion, is Strong's H4475. Rishon is H7223. Strongholds is H6076. Flock is H5739. Tower is H4026. And you shall, yach, you shall gush forth and travail. Yalad, to bear young. Okay, medically to act as a midwife. The Strong's for Yalad is H32005. To be delivered. H5337, not Saul. A primitive route to snatch away whether a good and bad sense. You're going to be delivered. Escape without fail. Part, pluck, preserve, recover, rescue, rid, save, spoil, strip, surely, take out. All right, you're going. So this means you're going to be delivered. You shall be delivered. All right, let me talk about that. And redeemed from the hands of thine enemies. This is it. Redeem is gal, not sal, gal. A primitive word to redeem is according to the Oriental law of kinship. That is to be the next of kin, to buy back a relative's property, to marry his widow, and so forth, and anywise, to avenge, to deliver. Your enemies, oyabe. Your adversary, your foe. So rise up and thresh, trample or thresh, tear back, tear down as grass. And your horn, kerin. Your horn is your power. As a horn projecting, this is Strong's H7161 horn. Threshing is H1758. Enemies is H341. And redeem is H1350. Your horn, a flask, resemblance of an elephant tooth, ivory, a corner of the altar, a peak of the mountain, a ray of light, figuratively power. Your hill, your horn, is iron, barzel, as cutting an extension of an iron implement, by extension a head of iron. Your hoof is your claw or hoof, H6541 Strong's, and iron is H1270, and horn is H7161. Brass, H5154, is copper, brass, or steel, because the Lord Adonai, the sovereign, the controller, the Lord, the master, or owner of all things. Now let's go back, since we've got some dilation of the terms used here. So look, why are you crying aloud? Don't you get it? Don't you understand that master is saying your counselor? For pangs have taken these as a woman in travail. Be in pain, okay? Be in pain and labor to bring forth, to birth, daughter of Zion. For you shall go out of the city and you shall go dwell in the field. In other words, this is the time to go out of the organized Babylonian system of churchianity, the city structure, and go into the wilderness, the fields. And in fact, you shall even go to Babylon. Those of you that are still in the Babylonian church system, in Babylon the West, you shall be delivered. God shall deliver you. But you have to pray and labor and travail to bring forth. It says in Galatians 4, I believe, who has bewitched you, you foolish Galatians? I labor and travail in you that Christ be formed in you again, to be birthed and delivered, that he might deliver you and redeem you. The Lord came the first time for salvation. The next time, his return, he's coming for deliverance. And many nations are gathered against you, against God's people, his holy mountain. And they said, lest our eye look upon Zion. And even secondarily or parallel, to, you know, God's church's body, all of Israel. The other part is the land of Israel and the Jews that have not yet come into the unveiling of their heart and the revealing of Yeshua the Messiah. Those in Zion, all the nations have gathered against her, and they're slandering her and abusing her. And yeah, okay, she is a sinner, but they know not the thoughts of the Lord, neither do they understand his counsel, for he shall gather them as sheaves into the floor. He's going to gather them into his threshing floor to do a work. And don't you know that this is a process that's happening now. Rise and thresh, for I will make your horns your power, iron and brass, judgment and strength. And many pieces, many people in the earth are going to be beaten into pieces over these issues. Who the covenant people are. And I'm not talking two covenants. I'm talking all of Israel shall be saved. And this is an eternal perspective. Those who know the Lord that are already have the complete and fulfilled covenant and have the veil taken off of their hearts and have been born again by the blood of Yeshua, and those that are going to be, that call themselves Jews. And they are secret believers, just as in the days of Yeshua, when he spoke to Nicodemus, he was one of the priests. And he said, Jesus said, Nicodemus, are you a teacher in Israel and you don't know these things about being born again? And they will come in. Why? Because the Jews were first. They're God's firstborn. They're the first nation. And now they're last. The first shall be last and the last shall be first. And the Jews will come in. They will be the final gathering. In the time of Jacob's trouble, the birthing of the sons of God, all creation's groaning, and will labor and travail and gush and bring forth the children of the Most High, the sons of light. The sons of light will call them out of darkness and call them into the light. And they were written in the Lamb's Book of Life from the foundations of the earth. And the rest of them, well, they don't understand God, nor his plans or his counsel, because they are hidden from those who walk in iniquity and in darkness. And even this language that I'm saying, people can't get it. They don't get it. You know, unless you have the light of God operating in you to give you understanding, and you're walking in light and in the ways of holiness, you won't understand this. Psalm 92:8, but you are Lord, or Most High forevermore. For lo, your enemies, O Lord, for lo, thine enemies shall perish, and all the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. But my horn you shall exalt like the horn of a unicorn or the ox. It's an unbroken wild ox that no longer exists. It's an undomesticated ox. I shall be anointed with fresh oil, and mine eyes also shall see my desire on my enemies, and my eyes shall hear my desire of the wicked that rise up against me. Okay? Why? Let's go back to Psalm 92. Let's go back up to verse 4. For you, Lord, you have made me glad through your work. This is the Lord's work. It's happening. I will triumph in the works of my hands, O Lord. How great are your works, and how your thoughts are very deep. For a British man doesn't know this. No, neither does a fool understand this. When the wicked spring as the grass, and when all the workers of iniquity do flourish, it is that they shall be destroyed forever. Forever. Praise God's holy name. And finally, I want to look at one more passage in Zechariah 2:1-13. I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a man with a measuring line in his hand. And then said I, whither thou goest? And he said to me, to measure Jerusalem, to see what is the breadth and what is the length thereof. And behold, the angel that talked with me went forth, and another angel went out to meet him. And he said to him, run! Speak to this young man, saying, Jerusalem shall be inhabited as towns without walls, for the multitude of men and cattle therein. For I say, the Lord will be unto her a wall of fire round about, and will be the glory in the midst of her. Ho, ho, come forth and flee from the land of the north, says the Lord. For I have spread you abroad as the four winds of the heaven, says the Lord. Deliver yourself, O Zion, that dwells with the daughter of Babylon. For thus says the Lord of hosts, after the glory he has sent me unto the nations, which spoiled you. For he that touches you, touches the apple of his eye. For behold, I will shake my hand upon them, and they shall be as spoil to their servants. And you shall know that the Lord of hosts has sent me, saying, and rejoice, O daughter of Zion, for lo, I come, and I dwell in the midst of you, says the Lord. And many nations shall be joined to the Lord in that day. And shall be my people, and I will dwell in the midst of you. And you shall know the Lord of hosts has sent me unto you. And the Lord shall inherit Judah, his portion in the holy land. God says it's his holy land, his holy mountain, Mount Zion. And shall choose Jerusalem again. Be silent, O flesh, before the Lord. For he is raised up out of his holy habitation. All right, I'm not going to get into the words here. I'm going to get into the context of laying the understanding previously in this passage. So Zechariah is a young man, and he saw the angel come to measure out Jerusalem. And the reason this angel was measuring it, because it's going to be built. And the Lord will be the wall of fire and the glory in the midst of her. And then there's a cry to come from the land of the north. For I have spread you abroad as the four winds of heaven. Deliver yourself in the midst, you that dwells with the daughter of Babylon. Not Babylon, the daughter of Babylon, the West, the church in the West. You in the north, that would be Northern Europe, Canada, the United States, over the Arctic Circle. You that are in Russia, too. And you that dwell with the daughter of Babylon, the Babylonian church system. For thus says God, the Lord of hosts, Lord Sabaoth, it says, the Lord Sabaoth, the Lord of the armies of heaven. This is war. Rise up and thresh after the glory, and lift your horn after the glory. He sent me to the nations which spoil for you. He that touches you touches the apple of his eye. Why? Because God said in Jerusalem, when this temple to Solomon was dedicated, my eyes and my heart have never left, will never leave this place. They will be forever watching over what is happening there. And I had a vision this last week in intercession, and I saw this, and this is the scriptures in Zechariah for the readings this week, by the way, of the prophets. And this is not going to be done by might or power, but by God's Spirit, okay? And I saw God's eye watching over, and I saw a needle stuck through God's eye and began to bleed over Jerusalem. God's eye will watch over this. His son's blood was shed on Golgotha in Jerusalem. He came first as a servant. Now he's going to become the king of this nation and establish Jerusalem and be a wall of fire and the glory around her. And it is his blood, his eye, his word, his son's blood that will redeem this and deliver and bring to pass his eternal, immutable word, his word that cannot be shaken. And he's going to shake his hand over everything that can be shaken. For behold, I will shake my hand upon them, and they shall be a spoil to their servants. You shall know the Lord of hosts has sent me. And everything that can be shaken, God's going to speak once more. Oh, daughter, sing and rejoice of Zion. Who's that? All of Israel. Who's all of Israel? All those whom the Lord has ordained, foreordained from the foundations of the earth. And I will dwell in the midst of you, and many nations shall be joined to the Lord in that day, and shall be my people. Children of Abraham. Father Abraham had many sons. He didn't just have Jacob, he had many children. And the Lord has many children, the children of light, those who walk in the light, those who walk in the truth. And I will dwell in the midst of you. And you shall know that the Lord Sabaoth, the Lord of the hosts of the armies of heavens, has sent me to you. And the Lord shall inherit Judah as his lawgiver. Shiloh will come, his portion in the Holy Land, and shall choose Jerusalem again. And be silent, O flesh, before the Lord, for he's raised up out of his holy habitation. And that work is about to begin. And has been in process. But the ferocity of it, the ferocious zeal of the Lord will accomplish this. And that day is we are even now in that. We are in that time and in that season for the establishing of the eternal kingdom. The dominion in the kingdom belongs to him. All glory, honor, strength, and power of the kingdom and the dominion, they all belong to him. And his house will come in order. And he will have it done his way. Bless you.